This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
I'm Sarah Bivens.
And I'm Matthew Bivens.
We had a home birth back in 2016.
So we started a podcast about it.
And then grew it into a birth brand to help future and current parents believe in their success with home birth.
This is the place to hear home birth stories along with helpful resources and tips to feel empowered and supported in your birth journey.
This is Doing It at Home. Welcome back to the podcast. This is Doing It at Home. I'm Sarah. My co-host is Matthew. We're so excited to have you here. Today's episode is Home Birth at the Height of Lockdown in New York with Lauren Rodick Eberly. Before we get into the episode, just want to welcome you once again. Thank you. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast. If you're listening right now, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on whatever podcast player you are using. That way you will be notified every time we drop a new episode. And if you feel so inspired, we would greatly appreciate a rating, review. It's really helpful on our end in terms of getting the word out there. And then think about how helpful reviews are. You know, I read reviews. I know I do before I buy things online. And so it can just be very helpful to share that perspective and so others can hear what you're getting out of the show. And we read them on the show from time to time as well. So I'll give you a little shout out as well. And make sure you are following us on all the social media channels and ways and streams and all the things. The links to that are in the show notes. Make sure you check that out. So from our website, which you can really find everything from there as well, that's diahpodcast.com. Join our private Facebook group, which is 2,500 members plus and growing daily. Our Instagram, we have 10.4K followers on there and some really great engagement and conversations and sharing that goes on. We just launched our YouTube channel, and we're going to be dropping some more content there as we create more. That's going to have videos on topics from the podcast, questions we get in our Facebook group, tips, helpful resources, as well as some of our own life and craziness and journey as we're over here seeking to create another baby and have another home birth experience. So that has been a 15 plus month journey now. And so we'll be chronicling some of that and sharing that with you because why not? Because it's who we are and what we do. So we're going to have a lot of really great video content there for you. So please go check that out. Click the link, subscribe, comment on some of the videos that we have there, and let's start a conversation and share with us what you'd like to have on there as well. That would be so awesome. So connect with us any of the ways that you can. You can send us a DM. You can send us an email. You can make a comment on the YouTube channel. We'd love to know more of what you would like to see on there. So all of that being said, let's get into a couple of things you can expect from today's episode. It was really fun talking with Lauren. She shares with us some of the unexpected curveballs that can be thrown in a pregnancy and birth planning, especially when there's something like a lockdown that happens in the middle of days of prodromal labor. Not to mention, she wasn't sure if her husband Jordan would be able to attend their birth because of travel circumstances, as well as her sister-in-law, who also served as her doula. So there were a lot of question marks up in the air here. In this episode, a couple of the topics that we cover: pregnancy loss, the business of being born, doula care, birth during COVID times, and the use of meditation and hypnobirthing to stay centered and grounded during the experience. So thank you so much to Lauren. I know you're going to love this episode. We'll have a quick word from our sponsor and then we'll dive right in. Hi, Lauren. Welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on today.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us. We've been having a lot of fun just chit-chatting before we officially got started.
Yeah,
so
we did.
Yeah, we're excited about this conversation. Thank you, Lauren.
Yes. Like I said, I've been listening to you guys from the beginning. So it's so cool to hear your voice on this end.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And thinking about from the beginning, that's you've really stuck with us then, because some of those early ones, when I listen back, I'm like, oh gosh.
Oh yeah, that audio, it sounds like it was a cell phone recording.
We were in a tin can together.
Yeah, it was rough.
Yeah.
So thanks for hanging out with us this whole time.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you guys.
Absolutely. So tell us about yourself and your family, and let's kind of set this scene for the story we're going to be sharing today.
Yeah. So my husband and I are high school sweethearts. We met in grade 10 and started dating then. So we've been together. I'm 30 now. So we've been together since we were 15. I'm going on 31, I guess. So almost 16 years together. And I'm a music teacher and entrepreneur. I have a bunch of side gigs, but I usually say that music is my main passion or my full-time job. And my husband plays hockey. So we actually live on Long Island in New York during the season. And I travel back and forth from Canada in Calgary, Alberta to do that. And I teach remotely while I'm in New York. So we kind of crossed the continent together. And we just had our first baby girl 17 months ago. So we're now a family of three.
That's beautiful.
That's so awesome.
And I just want to give you props for what you're doing, you know, living your life and living your passions and making it work. I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of layers to all of that. So I'm sure it may not be easy all the time. I don't know. I won't make any assumptions, but that's just very personally inspiring for me to hear what you all are up to, because where I come from and kind of my nuclear family, where people don't really go anywhere or do anything, you're kind of like my family's worst nightmare and my like greatest inspiration. And so I just wanted to share that, you know, just the thought of like, I'm imagining some of my family members just being like, you know, part of the time here and then part of the time there, and you go across and now you have a baby and you do music and this, like, I love it. So
thank you
for living into that possibility, because then someone like me can see that and be like, hey, we can do this if we're interested in it, or we can make this work in our life. So I just think you're the coolest.
Thank you. And thank you for mentioning that too. Yeah, because it's always interesting. I always say with my jobs too, I'm like, I need a quicker elevator pitch. But that's also with everyone's life too. You know, there's so many layers to it. So thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah. And then, you know, home birth and during the time that you did too, which we'll get into. But yeah, there's a lot of cool things to extract from this and a lot of inspiration to be had. So let's talk about that a little bit. Your family planning and becoming pregnant. What was that journey like for you all?
Yes. Okay. So I've always been into somewhat natural living. And as everyone says on this podcast, I watched The Business of Being Born.
All right.
So I think that was 2008. And so my husband and I were watching, and I was like 18, and I was like, that's going to be me. And then I was so blessed to get the best sister-in-law ever. My brother married an amazing woman and they have three kids, and she invited me to all her births, and I was able to attend her second and her third birth. So her second was a water birth at a birth center, and her third was a water birth at her home. And that was just so inspiring to see it live. I was like, Kate, this is the only way.
Wow.
So our pregnancy journey, we actually got pregnant for the first time in 2018. And I ended up having a pregnancy loss after 9 weeks. But that experience, we thought we were going to birth in Canada because of the time frame. And so I had met with midwives in Canada and knew I was going to go that route. But then I had met some doctors in New York just to kind of have someone in case I needed to do any ultrasounds or whatnot there. And just the contrast between those two experiences solidified it for me even more that I wanted midwives and I wanted my home. So we had that pregnancy loss, which was devastating, but we learned a lot from that. And I also then just even went more down this natural path of looking into everything and anything I was using, what I was putting into my body and giving to my baby. So that, yeah, brought me forward to even more of a natural lifestyle. And then we were blessed to get pregnant again. When was the date? But I know I had my baby March 2020. So that was our journey to getting pregnant.
So Lauren, what were the conversations like with Jordan about home birth, about natural birth, all that stuff?
You know, he's always been really supportive of anything that I wanted to do, because I know I hear this a lot in your podcast too. Like, he's like, it's your body. You're the one that's birthing this baby. And he knows I'm really into researching everything and looking into it. And I think also having my sister-in-law go before me kind of was a comfort to him. You know, he saw it and he wasn't there, but he saw what I experienced with her. So that was comforting. He definitely had a lot of questions and a lot of questions for the midwives, but the more and more he asked the questions, he felt more and more comfortable. And it's funny now, because now whenever anyone he knows is having a baby, he's like, you should do a home birth. It's the best thing ever.
Oh, I love hearing that. Yeah. I love hearing when the dads become like the I had a home birth, ask me how pin wearers, and are out there like at a barbecue and are just, you know, enrolling people in the idea or possibility of natural or home birth. I think that's just so neat.
Exactly.
Oh, they're funny.
What were some of Jordan's biggest questions?
You know, as you've talked about, like all the what ifs, what if this happens? What if she hemorrhages? What if we need to get transferred? You know, those kind of things. And then it's hard because a lot of people that aren't on board ask a lot of those what if questions, which I guess is good because it gets you thinking, but they also like to tell their stories of what happened to them in various settings. Mm-hmm. And so then those questions kind of would pop up for him, like, well, what if that happened to us? So our midwives were amazing and answered every question. And I was able to also answer as many questions as I could for him. So by the end, he was feeling really comfortable with it.
That's great. And what were some of your ideas or thoughts or intentions for your birth? Did you have some things that you knew you wanted or didn't want? What were those kind of conversations and thoughts?
Yeah. So I should actually mention too. So we were on Long Island for my birth, and my sister-in-law that I keep talking about is a doula as well.
Oh, that's great.
And yeah, so I wanted her there for the birth. So our plan, and actually my husband was supposed to be in actually where we're from, Calgary or Edmonton area, during my due date or guest date. So he was gone for, I think, a week over that time frame. So my plan with my sister-in-law, my brother was amazing. He took the two older kids. She took her 6-month-old to Long Island to be with me. And we planned her trip to be 10 days, assuming I would go later. And she would kind of bracket that time frame that my husband would be gone. But then also, even if my husband was there, she could just be our doula. So that was my hope. As you'll hear, it ended up not being the case that she was there for that whole time. But I wanted her there. I also had another doula in New York because I just wanted like a lot of love and support around me. And we had done a lot of like massage and body positions and all of that kind of thing, so that could be a way that everyone could comfort me. I also had like essential oils and affirmation cards and a music playlist. And my plan was like, I want to eat as much as I can during labor. Also ended up being so quick that I didn't really do that, but I had my water and my coconut water, and I pretty much had like everything I envisioned. And some of it I laugh now because like the music playlist, I don't even know what songs were playing when it was happening, you know? But everything really, yeah, I feel like everything I envisioned really came to fruition. Like I would sit on my bed and I would look at the area that we were going to put, we wanted a tub, so that we were going to put our tub, and I would actually just like picture myself in positions of labor and like meditate on that. And I even birthed in those positions. So it was really wild looking back to see that like what I was visualizing came to be. Mm.
I love that. And so am I understanding correctly that you were pretty clear that it was possible either your sister-in-law or Jordan would not be there for your birth? Like, it was that a possibility?
Yes. Yeah, it was more a possibility that my husband wouldn't be there.
How was that? Because, you know, that's something real for, you mostly hear it with military families, which we've had a few stories on the show. But there are, of course, other life circumstances where things like that will pop up. How were you and the two of you kind of communicating on that? And how was that feeling?
Yeah, I was really calm about that too, just because I didn't want to be upset if he couldn't be there. So I kind of, once again, visualized everything as if, you know, if he's not going to be here, what's the support I can have? And that's why I really wanted a doula and wanted my sister-in-law there. And if he was there, it kind of just was like the cherry on top for me.
Yeah.
I'm kind of thinking of it that way. But for him, he really, really, really wanted to be there. And my New York doula kept saying, you know, it's going to work out how it's meant to work out. So like maybe your body's going to wait, maybe baby's going to wait for dad to be there. And that ended up being the case.
That's cool.
But yeah, I, everyone asked me that. And I really just was calm thinking he'll be there if he's there, but if not, like I can do this and everyone will be there to support me.
Well, I appreciate that. And yeah, someone's getting something from that right now, because that, like I said, is something that, many, people face, you know, that that partner might not be able to be there for a number of reasons.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
Did you have any experiences with strangers, friends or family where, you know, you really felt that their fears and judgments were being placed on top of you and then you had to deal with that?
Yeah, I tried to actually not tell as many people as I could beforehand. I mean, my family knew, my husband's family knew, and our friends knew, but I wasn't sharing on social media per se, or just telling any random people. You know, I'm surprised how often the question gets brought up, oh, what hospital are you having the baby at? And so that's when I had to think, how am I going to answer this so that I don't have to get all the what ifs. But there was a lot of that. But like I said, again, I had so much knowledge and experience with it again, that I would either share that information if I felt it beneficial, like if it was a family member that legitimately had concerns. But if it was someone just, you know, wanting to tell me their horror story, I actually would just tell them to stop. Because I said, oh, sorry, like, I just really want only positive energy and positive visualizations around me right now. And I can't hear this story. So I do that as much as I can. And I tell people that a lot, like only bring in the stories. And I don't know, that might not be great advice for everyone, because maybe some people, you should know all of the things that you can do that would be the best for you. But I think that like you really need to just have that positive energy around you and not hear all the horror stories, because you know about fear, right? Mm-hmm. Like the whole cycle of if you have fear, then you're going to tense up and then you're not going to have the birth that you're wanting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I you are making such a great point. There is a balance. And of course, it's to each their own and in your own style and what works for you and your kind of learning style and also how you deal with stress or potentially stressful situations. You know, for some people, there's a threshold of what to know. And once you go beyond that, you don't need to necessarily know more than that. Or you might start clouding and getting caught up in some of those negative, so to speak, possibilities. But I think it's a great point that you bring up.
Right. And I think I should also say too, that when I say that I didn't want to hear those stories, I also told people like I had a plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D,
yeah.
You know, so that like I knew all of the things that needed to be done if there was a situation or if we needed to be transferred. So I wasn't just flying by the seat of my pants, but yeah, but I still went in with the perspective, like my plan A is really what my hopes and my thought process is going to be around.
Oh, that's fantastic. And you know, there's a difference, I feel, between receiving an unsolicited story versus going and seeking out a story to understand what the possibilities are.
Yes.
Know? And
yes, that is so well said.
Yeah, I think that if a person wants to go and listen to stories of births that went different ways than maybe they're envisioning, like do it, you know, go and expose yourself to all those things if that's what you want. But it's so different when, you know, you share an aspect of your birth, like, oh, you know, this is kind of what we're doing. And then all of a sudden, unsolicited, a stranger or friend or family member just shares their story with you. Like those are those moments where I feel that it is very important to protect that bubble. And Lauren, I think it's so great that you would just tell people, no, I don't want to hear that story.
Yeah, right, I love that. It sounds like you were really graceful with it, whereas I would have been like, I have to pee, or like, I'm about to throw up on you. I got to go.
I was really working on my boundaries early on.
I love that.
Yeah, you need to.
But you know what? Like after I had my miscarriage or pregnancy loss, I listened to, I don't even know how many podcasts about that, because I wanted to feel like I wasn't alone, you know, and hearing other people going through that experience. But then once I was pregnant again, I couldn't hear those stories at that time.
Sure.
So, you know, I had to put a pause on those kind of listens. And I know that's why you guys always give disclaimers too, right? Like if this is going to be hard for you to listen to right now, then shut it off. So even now, not being pregnant, I'm going to listen to every single birth story out there. And then there might be a time where I'm pregnant again, where I pick and choose what ones I want to bring into my space.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I want to comment too on that. What hospital are you giving birth at? We were joking about that, Bivens, the other day about like potentially facing that question again in the future, or, you know, when we have people who ask like, what should I say to that? And I'm like, just make up, you know, Bivens Memorial, Our Lady of Birth Hospital. Like, you know, just make up.
Oh, I've never heard
like
of that
Bivens
one.
Memorial. No, you don't know that one? Okay, well, that's where we're going to be. Bye.
That is so true. Because that's even a question people ask at the grocery store.
like, what does that do for you, person checking me out, holding my celery? Like, what does where I'm giving birth, what does that?
I think it's just,
it's filler.
Just a common
people
question.
Don't know what to do or say or how to be, so... Yeah.
So Lauren, what did you say to that question?
Oh, yeah. I think it changed every time.
Stop.
And the problem was that I should have just made something up, because I was like, I'm not an expert on all the hospital names on Long Island because I'm not from here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if it was really passing, I would just say, oh, I'm having a home birth, and just kind of like let it go. But yeah, I don't even remember. Like if it was someone where I didn't really want to share that information yet, I think I would just say like, oh, we're still deciding.
Yeah, okay, that's a good response.
But now when the second baby, hopefully someday soon, comes along, I'm sure everyone's going to know now. So
yeah,
I'll
out.
Have to change my tune.
That's funny. All right, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, let's talk about birthing time. Okay, so... give us the birth story details. How did it go down?
Okay, so my sister-in-law was in town and my husband was not. And she was being amazing, best doula ever. If you can have a doula come live with you,
right?
And massage your feet and make food for you, I suggest that.
Yeah, that sounds pretty awesome. Even when you aren't pregnant.
So yeah, she was amazing. And now it's like, the dates with COVID and everything is just like a total blur, but that's why I'm so glad I wrote my story down. But so 4 days past my due date, guest date, I started to have more intense contractions that like I could tell were not Braxton Hicks. So now I know that this was prodromal labor, but at the time I just thought, I don't know, this is getting more intense and like maybe this is going to happen. So my sister-in-law and I would like, I would get contractions every, I don't know ever if I should call them contractions or pulses, but I would get them every 4 minutes and they would last for a minute. And this would last for a long time. So for a lot of people, that would be when they're like, okay, this is real now. But my sister-in-law kept being like, oh, well, you're handling these really well. And, you know, you can sometimes still talk through them and all of that. So we would go for walks a ton and see if they would pick up, and they often would. But then every night they would just die down again, which was really nice because I was getting good sleeps for 6 days while this was happening. But after 2 or 3 days of this, I went to my midwives and I thought I was never going to want to get checked. But I was like, okay, no, I want to get checked here because this has been going on for a while. My husband's out of town. If it's going to be soon, maybe he can try get home. So I got checked and I don't remember the numbers, but like I was 5 centimeters dilated and whatever the other things were. And my midwives were like, okay, I think like anytime in the next 24 hours, this baby's probably going to join us Earthside. And so I called my husband and I said, if you can get a flight and get home, you should do it. And so he did. And wildly enough, the next day, the world went into lockdown, or America went into lockdown.
And while you were in labor,
he got home and then he was just home. And I said, maybe that was a good thing because my labor kept going on like this for a few more days. And I said, he would have had to go back to work because his work would have been like, you haven't had the baby yet? What's going on? So it was after 5 days of this and with the world going into lockdown, my sister-in-law was like, I need to get home to Canada because who knows what's going to happen after this. So she got home to Canada and then she had to quarantine with her 6-month-old baby that was with us for 2 weeks in Canada without my brother and her other 2 kids. So I felt so bad that I ended up stealing her for a whole month almost. But so it was just my husband and me. And then literally the next day after my sister-in-law left, it was the real meal deal. Wow. So I got up that morning and I made oatmeal. And because my sister-in-law and niece had just left, I was, you know, cleaning the house. And I guess now I know that I was getting the the fever that everyone gets to clean and make everything nice and tidy. But then at like 9:20, I guess, I was like, these are getting more intense and they seem longer. So I started timing them and they would last for 1.5 minutes and they'd come on every 3 minutes. So I said to my husband, Jordan, like, I think this is legit. Maybe we should call the midwives. So we called our midwives and they were on the phone just listening to me work through the contractions. And they're like, you still sound like you're handling this super well. So I think you're good still. And I credit that all to my meditation and my hypnobirthing practice, because in my head, I was like, no, I think this is more intense than that. But I just said, okay, yeah, it sounds good, because this had been going on for 6 days. So I thought, I don't want to get them to come here and like they'd be an hour drive and then find out that I am still going to be doing this for 3 more days. So I said, okay, we'll just carry on. But then we hung up the phone and after a while, Jordan's like, let's go for a walk and see if they pick up. So we did. And we literally got 8 houses down and my water broke. And the funny thing about that too, is I kept visualizing and saying I wanted my water to break because I was like, I just want to know 100% that I am in full blown labor.
Yeah.
So my water broke and then it was like game on. Some people say like they don't have it super intense when their water breaks, but it was like, no, this is now. So we called my sister-in-law that was now back in Canada, and I kept saying like, I need to get home. I need to go to the bathroom. And she was like, don't have the baby on the toilet. And I was like, no, I for sure need to go to the bathroom. This isn't the baby. So we got back home, and Jordan found it so funny because there was literally like cars pulling over being like, are you guys okay? Do you need help? Like they probably thought I wanted a ride to the hospital. And I was like, no, I just need to get 8 houses down to my house. So we got back home. And on the walk home, like every time I would have an intense one, I would just like kneel on the grass and work through it. But the whole time I just said to my husband, like, just keep calling people we need there. Cause actually we had a birth photographer too, who also is a doula by trade. So I had so much support. I ended up having 2 midwives, our New York doula, and our photographer who was also a doula. And so he called all of them and said, okay, come to our house. And so by the time we got home, pretty soon after, our photographer was the first one to make it there. And like I said, it was so amazing that she was a doula because she was super supportive while my husband was trying to fill up the tub. And you guys know how long it takes to fill up those tubs.
Yes.
And I was like, I need water right now. Like, I just want to get in the water so bad. And so the photographer was like, fill up your other tub, even though like it wasn't big enough for us to birth in, just so she can sit in it and get some relief that way. So now at 11:35, I puked twice and I was so pumped. I was like, am I in transition? And at this point, the photographer was still the only one there. And she's like, yeah, I think you are. And I was like, hey, this is amazing. So then after a little while, the doula showed up and she was a dream too. She was like massaging me with essential oils, all the things I wanted. And as soon as the other tub was ready, I got in that and I said with probably a lot of swear words, like, this is such a gift. Mm-hmm. This water is just the best thing I could have ever hoped for. And then when the other tub was filled up, I got in that. And then at that point, the midwives were there. And yeah, like it was honestly just such a beautiful experience. Like I remember just like talking and laughing, and we have pictures of it too. And I just kept talking to our baby, and I was way more vocal than I thought I would be because I felt like I had been all, you know, hypnobirthing calm up until this point, but I was more roaring at this point. And yeah, like I said, my husband kept giving me water and coconut water. And actually it's funny, the other day, my sister-in-law on his side, so his sister was saying, yeah, we were getting texts from him about like updates of how we were doing, like, oh, she's doing amazing, baby's almost here. And I looked at him and I said, when did you have time to text? Like, I felt you, like you were so present with me, you know, you kept giving me water and holding my hand. And he's like, I don't know if you fully know what was going on. But yeah, he was amazing. Everyone was amazing. And then there was one point where it was getting super intense. Like I felt like I didn't even get like a chance to like get a deep breath in between the contractions. So at one point my doula was just like, ask your baby for a break if you want a break. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, I can do that. And so I asked my baby for a break. And that was like the one moment where I got where it was just like, okay, I can like just breathe for a couple minutes and get ready to do this again. And then I remember I felt down and felt my baby's head, and we didn't know if it was a boy or girl at this point. So I was like, oh my gosh, baby has so much hair. And it was just so exciting. And then by 2:05, baby was out. Like I was never checked during any of this time. Like I never was told to push. Like I just like listened to my body. And yeah, and then baby just came and it was amazing. And one thing that I guess frightened my husband, but I almost had no knowledge of it happening at the time, is when I grabbed our baby, I guess I had a very short placenta cord. Mm. So I pulled her up to my chest and I ripped the cord. And so, you know, in water, like the blood was coming out in the water. So my husband saw that and he was looking straight on and he was so frightened, like, what's going on? But instantly my doula was like, oh, the cord broke. And then the midwives like clamped our baby's cord and clamped the cord on my end. And then we were just good to go. So I was so grateful for their quick expertise. But so we didn't get to do delayed cord clamping, which was one of the only one of my visualizations that I didn't get to happen, unfortunately. But yeah, then I just held her to my chest. And then because of like the water not being the nicest place anymore, I said, okay, Jordan, can you do skin to skin with her? And I just like want to birth this placenta right away. So I did that and then got out of the water. And then we got into bed and cuddled. And my doula went and made me toast, the best toast ever, and tea. And we just cuddled in bed. And yeah, everyone did their thing. And like everything was cleaned up by 5:30 p.m. And my husband made us dinner. And we again curled up in bed and ate dinner. And that's what I tell everyone. It was just like the most amazing thing. We were just like in bed with our baby, eating our food. And it was so perfect. I couldn't have asked for anything better.
Wow.
I have feelings.
I know. I want to do it again now.
Right? Oh my gosh. And so what I love about what you just shared is how you're talking about it's so amazing. I mean, it sounds so normal too. Like it just sounds.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I had a baby and the baby was there and Jordan was there and we were happy and it was awesome. Like, I love that it can be like that. And we need to hear that because that's not mainstream, unfortunately. And so even with what you said, the placenta cord ripping, I don't think I've ever heard that.
Me neither.
When you said that for a tiny second, I was like, oh, whoa, it can do that, or like that can happen.
And where did it rip exactly?
Like right down. So like almost like it was like a straight cut in between her and I. Mm. So like she had half of the cord attached to her still and I had half.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Like I also had never heard of anything like that before. So I asked the midwives after, like, am I always going to have a short placenta cord? Like I'd never heard of this, but I know next time I grab a baby, I will be pulling much slower.
Hello.
I know it's cheap, but like our baby's here, grabbed her to my chest. And I was like, okay, I'll be gentler next time. But yeah, that was news for me too. So I do share that too, because that's something, yeah, that could happen in a home birth, that once again, the midwives know how to handle that and take care of that. So. Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious, Lauren, did your home setup in Long Island, did you share a wall? Like, were you a unit in a building or were you freestanding?
No, we are freestanding.
Okay. I was curious.
None of our neighbors knew we were having home birth, but afterwards, you know, when everyone was congratulating us on our baby, they're like, where did you have her? And we were like, in our house.
Oh, wow.
They're like, what? Right there? Yeah. Right there. So that's pretty cool too.
That's cool.
Yeah. I asked because it comes up often, you know, in our Facebook group or just out there in the doing it at home community, people who do live mostly in New York, you know, these are the people it comes up with, but of course apartment living and townhome living is all over the place. So people just saying, you know, how do you feel about that? And what do you do? And are you nervous about being loud or should you tell your neighbors? You know, that's a thing that kind of comes up.
Right. Yeah, we didn't have that, but I can see that for sure.
Mm-hmm. So what was that golden hour like?
Oh, amazing. Like also our breastfeeding journey. I'm still breastfeeding at 17 months. Like it was just a dream right from the get-go. I wanted to do like the crawl and that didn't happen. But so things I learned, but It was just so nice. Like I just didn't stop holding her and feeding her and cuddling with her the whole time. And it's like, even when they weighed her and did all that, that was when I was birthing the placenta and getting it on the tub and then Jordan was with her. So I felt like I never had her away from me, which was so lovely. It was just perfect.
That is so wonderful. And what exactly is the crawl that you just mentioned a minute ago?
Oh, learning point for Matthew Bivens, everyone.
Yes.
Learning point number two.
Breast crawl.
Oh, okay. Like when baby comes out?
Do you know about that? Yeah. So like you put them almost, you maybe can explain this better, sir, but you almost put them on your stomach and you let them, they like literally look like they're crawling to you because the smell of your milk is the same as like the smell that they had inside of you. So they literally crawl up to your breast and attach on their own.
Yeah. You did a great job, Lauren. That's you got amazing. It. It's this instinctual primal thing that they can do. And I mean, we can pull up videos and show you after this. It's pretty amazing. Like a baby from belly makes its own way up to the breast and will start nursing. Right.
And it also makes, new. Yeah. And it also makes, usually people say like the latch really good because it's just their own like instinctual latch versus mm-hmm. like you trying to kind of force them into a position.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Well,
thank you. Pretty, I'm learning stuff.
Mind blown.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
It's like Maya says that right now. Like, doesn't that blow your mind? She says that about things now. And so Matthew's mind is blown once again by the power of birth.
And birth blows my mind. And you guys have heard a million stories and I'm sure you're still, your mind is blown every time.
Oh, and I love it. I remain so humbled in that we can hear 300 plus stories and still be like, wait, what? That can happen? Or like, that's amazing. That's incredible. So it really is something to honor and be in reverence of. So
absolutely.
Cool. Oh my goodness. So I know you mentioned, you dropped it a little bit, if there are future children or if that's something you're playing for, is there anything new or different you would incorporate or things that you've learned since it, you know, maybe add to the toolbox?
Honestly, like I ask everyone this all the time. I'm like, what would you do different? Mm-hmm. What would you do the same? And I feel like I want everything the same down to everyone that was there. Mm-hmm. One of our midwives actually just ended up opening a women's wellness clinic. So she's no longer practicing as a midwife, I guess you would say. And my husband was like, no, just text her and ask her. She just needs to be at the next one. So I did. I was like, can you please still be at our birth? So yeah, one thing I should say actually about pregnancy is that I was nauseous and sick kind of up until about 20 weeks, but I was so grateful for it because with our pregnancy loss before, I kept feeling like, hey, if I'm not feeling great, then our baby's getting everything they need, hopefully, until I can feel them kicking and all that. Like, I'm cool with not feeling good. So I read affirmation cards every day. I got them from Mama Natural. Mm-hmm. And that was something that was so helpful for me. So for anyone else that just wants to like bring in gratitude and positivity into their pregnancy, I found those affirmation cards so helpful just to like read one a day and kind of say that to myself over and over again. But for the birth, yeah, I guess like the things that I would want in the future are the things that weren't able to happen this time. So like ideally, if we could do delayed cord clamping next time, if I could like play around with hopefully the breast crawl. But also I had like a freezer food. I also have to say that because with COVID, like we didn't have anybody dropping off food or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And I was so glad that I just stocked up my freezer and made so much food. So my husband and I were set for the first little bit. Like we could just cuddle and heat up the food that was already made and we were good to go. So I really recommend that too. And mm-hmm. I will definitely do that next time. But even one of the blessings that came out of this is us having time where we didn't have to entertain anyone or we didn't have to have people come in and cuddle the baby when I wanted to cuddle the baby. So I said, like, even in the future, I'm going to kind of do a 2-week quarantine on my own with our family and just say, I mean, my husband might be away for part of it. So maybe I will need a little bit of help with our older child at that time. But yeah, I really appreciated that bonding time. And so that's, a boundary I'll set in the future for sure.
Gotcha. Oh, I think people are taking notes on some of that because I think that's going to land exactly with where someone's at right now or what they want for their birth or a future birth. So thanks for sharing that.
Right. Thank you.
And thanks for sharing everything. Thanks for being with us.
Yes.
For being with us from the beginning, as we mentioned at the top of the episode, and being part of the community. And now that you can share your story and others can listen to you, I love the full circleness of that. And just having you in our space, having you as a Doing It At Home family member, it means a lot. So I'm grateful to you. I'm grateful to Jordan and to Collins. And thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah. Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you. Thank you for all you're doing. I'm excited to continue listening. And like I said, it'll be so wild to hear me on your podcast.
Ooh, Quick note about the Doing It at Home podcast. Matthew and I are not doctors or medical professionals, and nothing we say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. If you have medical or health-related questions, please take them to a trained professional. We're here simply to entertain you with stories and conversations about pregnancy, birth, and parenthood.
Does your father know you're listening to this podcast? Well, when you're done, why don't you stop by and check out a show that is 100% dad-approved, Dadages. Hi there, I'm Chad Higley. If you're looking for useful insights and practical advice you can actually apply to work, family, education, philanthropy, and just life in general, check out Dadages. That's Dadages, wherever you listen to your podcasts.